You're listening to Misunderstanding Dementia Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Misunderstanding Dementia Course, and you can put in 50 to get a 50% discount on the course. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Mike Chua, physical therapist and certified dementia practitioner. And today we have a special guest for our Misunderstanding Dementia Podcast. Today I'm here with Ms. Ashley Nicole Patterson. She's actually an activity assistant in a nursing home in Maryland, and she's here right now to share some of the good knowledge that we can have and share some more information about dementia. So welcome to our show, Ashley.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. Well, go ahead and introduce yourself. Is there anything that else that we can know about you?
Well, I'm currently working at a nursing and rehab facility as an activities assistant, but I've been in an assisted living environment since I was 17. I've, been a server, dishwasher, caregiver, concierge, you name it. I am currently in school to become a memory care director. I'm studying gerontology, and dementia has been, a passion of mine for a long time. And my husband's grandmother has dementia, so I try to help his family sometimes, give them advice and try to help them along the process, and that's about it.
Oh, wow. I think that's in the right path there, being an activity assistant and then you studying mm-hmm. to be a gerontologist. Is that how you say it, gerontologist?
Yeah, I eventually want to be a memory care director and work specifically with people with dementia.
Oh, wow.
Which I've been doing since I was 18, but, I want to be like a director of a dementia unit.
Oh, wow. I think we need more of that because we need more education when it comes to dementia. Right now I'm parked outside a nursing home. Right now I'm going to go in after this and, I work in this nursing home and some of the CNAs, they still don't know what and how to redirect and take care of some dementia patients. And I think we need more mm-hmm. education when it comes to that. So I think you mm-hmm. are doing a good job in trying to do this. So, all right. Well, the next question would be, how did you end up being an activity assistant?
When I was younger, my grandmother, she was taken care of by hospice, and the hospice nurses did such an amazing job, and I wanted to work with the elderly and maybe even become a nurse. And as I got into high school, I ended up working at an assisted living facility as a server, and eventually worked my way up to caregiving when I was 18. But I always helped out the activity department, carry out some of their activities. And, being in the activity department, it really helps me, stretch my creative side, and it brings joy to the residents. And I get to hang out with the residents and be more personal with them. Because with caregiving, you don't always get a lot of time to actually spend with them. So, that's how I got into it, because I wanted to, treat other people the way the hospice nurses that we had treated my grandmother, and I wanted to give another family that appreciation.
Awesome. Well, you already mentioned about being an activity assistant. What kind mm-hmm. of activities do you normally do when you're in the nursing home that you serve at?
We do a little bit of everything. We do anything from usual bingo to we're working on doing a community service project right now where we write letters to sick veterans in hospitals and, children's hospitals, or we do paintings, we do karaoke, sing-along, pet visit, you name it. We do a little bit of everything.
I love karaoke, so.
Yeah.
You know what? That is actually a very, very good exercise, if for all our listeners. Karaoke or video key is when you watch that bouncing ball, and it's a good exercise
yeah.
for the patients, because we actually, when I was working full time in a nursing home, we created a program called a speech program, wherein we asked the patient to stand up and ask them to sing following that bouncing ball on that video key or karaoke machine. And it actually improved the patient's balance, improved their vocalization, and improved their lung capacity. And improve their overall well-being. And actually, that's a good thing that you're doing that. So that's very good. That's very good.
Music is very, very important and therapeutic with dementia because, you know, not only does it make them happy and, you know, make them more lively, it could bring back memories and, you know, make them more responsive. And it's just, there's a plethora of different positive effects of music. That's and I try true. To incorporate it in most of the things I do.
That's true. That's very good. That's very good. Another thing that you mentioned is about, you know, doing activities like bingo and stuff like that. So is that what you also normally do in the activities? You give them some cognitive exercises?
Yeah. We do trivia as well. And I'm working on making different games like Deal or No Deal and we do a lot of mind activities, or as much as we can.
That's good. That's good. So for the benefit of our listeners, if you have any family member or any loved ones that has dementia or any kind of patients that you're taking care of, you know, keeping them active not only physically but also mentally is very important. So, you know, let's take it from Ashley, you know, they're not only exercising the patient physically, they're also exercising the patient's brain, they're exercising their vocal cords and everything. So, you know, that's the thing that we need to learn from Ashley today. And all right, let's move on to our next question, Ashley. What is your major struggle when it comes to taking care of the patients there?
I think one of the biggest struggles most people face is trying not to take what the patients say personally, because a lot of times, you know, they don't have a filter and they don't know what they're saying, and sometimes they can say pretty mean stuff, but you know, you got to remember that they sometimes are not aware of what they're saying, or they're not aware that what they're saying is inappropriate or mean. And then another thing that I, you know, have issues with is letting myself be human, because you know, you make mistakes, and I'm the type of person that likes to do things and do them well. So if I like forget something, if a resident's like, "Hey, can you give me a glass of water?" and then I get preoccupied with another resident and I forget about it, I tend to beat myself up. But you know, you gotta let yourself be human, you know, and you know, take your mistakes and learn from them, and just try to be the best caregiver you can. And then another thing when I was primarily doing caregiving, and the reason why I like being in activities is because I get to spend that one-on-one time with my patients and not just, you know, go in, provide care, and then go on to the next person. And it was really hard for me to make time to actually spend with them, but I try to make time now whenever I provide care.
Excellent. So, you know, I really like what you said, or I actually wrote it down here. Don't take it personally. And most of the time, us as caregivers, we sometimes, well, not just sometimes, most of the time, we take everything personally. You know, when we're taking care of our patients or even our loved ones, you know, our mother, our father.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say this in a nice way, but most of the time when a patient has dementia, it's actually no longer your old mother or your younger mother or your previous father. It's actually the disease that is trying to, you know, take over their brain. And when they say when they say something mean, they don't take it, you know, don't take it personally, because it's the disease that is trying to take over them. So you are right, don't take it personally, because it is the disease. It's hard, especially if you're taking care of a loved one. You know, I remember my dad, he was just very irritable on his last few days, and he was you know, upset and everything, and he's just mad, you know, because that's just part of the process, you know. He's just upset and mad and hurting, and I didn't want to take it personally, but still, he's my father, so I just got sad a little bit. But you know, like what you said, just don't take it personally, sir.
Yeah.
All right. So, next question, why do you think caregivers experience burnout? Why do you think they're getting tired or burnt out?
I think in a assisted living or nursing setting, a lot of the times it's because caregivers, they'll work several double shifts in a row. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give yourself that time away from your patients, you don't get that chance to recharge. So you're going to be irritable and you're going to be tired. And, you know, especially, it's usually, a lot of times, the caregivers that go above and beyond that always volunteer to do the extra shifts, or, you know, they, not that it's a bad thing, but they put too much of themselves into their work. So I feel like in an assisted living and nursing setting, the reason why there's burnout is because I think caregivers are trying to do too much all at once, or trying to work too many hours.
There you go.
And in a family setting, you know, with assisted living or nursing, at the end of the day, you get to leave and go home to your family. But if you're a family caregiver, you don't get that reprieve. It's a 24/7 job, so you're going to get burnt out very, very quickly unless you have, you know, home health care that comes in every once in a while. But still, it's like you don't get that break that, you know, assisted living or nursing caregivers get. So I feel like that's the reason why a lot of families get burnt out too. And, you know, you need time for yourself.
That's right. You know, we need time for ourselves. So for our listeners out there, what Ashley's been just telling you, you need to take risks. Whether you're an actual caregiver, in-home caregiver, or a person who works at the nursing home, person who works mm-hmm. in the assisted living, you need rest. You know, Ashley and the rest of the team, the registered nurse, and, you know, even doctors, they rest at the end of the day. If you're a caregiver 24/7, you guys, you have to rest. And that's what Ashley's telling us, you know, we have to rest and recharge. All right. Thank you for that answer there, Ashley. Really appreciate you. So next question is, what helped you in this journey? How are you enjoy? Are you enjoying taking care of patients in the assisted living, I guess, right?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I wouldn't be there for so long if I didn't. I truly love taking care of my people and, you know, hanging out with them. I think a big part of what gets me through, like, a really hard day would be the appreciation from the family, because I have family members that come up to me and just hug me and just thank me for what I do and stuff, and that means the world. You know, just even a simple thank you, or, you know, we really appreciate it, is will make the toughest day so much better. And you know, and the love and support from my family is really important, especially if I'm having a rough day. Like, I would come home some days and I would be really upset, and my husband would be there to, you know, be there for me. And and I also have personal hobbies outside of what I do that, you know, lets me de-stress. Like, I do art, and I do theater and rock climbing and just a bunch of different stuff that kind of helps me recharge and get on some of my stress. So I have a lot of things that really I'm thankful for that get me through the journey when it gets a little tough. So, but I think the biggest thing for me is just, you know, the relationships I form with the families, and just, you know, they become your second family, and it makes it so worth it.
Excellent. You know what? One thing that stood up on that answer there, Ashley, is the appreciation. Most of the time, caregivers are not well appreciated enough. So I'll just take this opportunity for all of those caregivers out there who are listening out right now. We really appreciate you, because when it's all is said and done, when your loved ones or your family members or your patients, when all is said and done, you know, when they leave this world and then you meet them in heaven, they will tell you, thank you very much for taking care of me during my worst time. And you know, you would appreciate it when you go back and go meet them up in heaven. So, and we appreciate you. That's my ultimate, answer there too. So thank you for sharing that information there. And last but not the least, Ashley, what advice can you give to other caregivers out there or people who want to be an activity assistant someday. So what advice can you share them?
With being a caregiver, you know, you do so much. You do a little bit of everything. You know, you're the cook, you do the laundry, you know. You're not just there to help with, you know, activities of daily living, but you need to try to do something fun with your loved one or patient. Like, try to sit and have a cup of tea or, you know, try to make some fun memories while you still can, because that's really important. And not only will it help the resident, it'll actually help you too. And that goes back to, you know, me saying you need to make time for yourself, but you also need to make good memories and have fun with your patients too, because it'll make your job or your duties as a caregiver more enjoyable. And also you need to, I feel like you should choose your priorities, because sometimes as caregivers, we try to do too much at once. So if you try to do everything at once, you'll make yourself crazy. You will, because I've experienced it. But, and, you know, and one thing that I see a lot, even personally, with even my husband's grandmother, a lot of times, some with dementia, if they don't want to do something, that's fine. Like for example, bathing. If your loved one doesn't want to take a bath or a shower, you know, maybe in that moment they don't, but like walk away for a little bit of time and then maybe come back and use a different approach. But, you know, 20, 30 minutes, it could be a whole new scenario with that person. So, you know, even if something doesn't work out the first time, I would go back and try to approach it differently. And another big thing is, you know, quality of life is really important too. Their day shouldn't just be wake up, take a shower, eat, go to bed. You know, you need to focus on their strength, what they can still do, make their day meaningful. So, you know, you can improve their quality of life. Because if you don't, you know, they're going to get more depressed. They're going to, you know, not have the tools there to make their day really great, you know. And as a family and in-home caregiver, just try to make sure that, you know, your home is dementia-friendly, so that your loved one can, you know, flourish inside your home, because if there's too much clutter or things aren't labeled correctly, you know, that can make them stressed out and make them, you know, not do very well in that home environment. And also, if you're a family caregiver, try to live in their reality. Even though if they say they're waiting at the bus stop and they're clearly sitting on the couch in the living room, just wait at the bus stop with them, you know, make them happy. Because if you just tell them they're wrong, it's going to make your life really hard at that moment. And I mean, last but not least, just love them. Just try to show them unconditional love, because at the end of the day, that's all they want. They just want validation and they just want love like everybody else. And that's about it. And that was a lot of fun.
I was actually writing it down here. You know, once I wrote down three important things on the last advice that you mentioned. First is focus on the strength. So if you guys are listening right now, Misunderstanding Dementia Group, Alzheimer's Dementia Group, focus on the strength. You know, if the patient's strength is they want to just clean the clothes or fold the clothes, focus on that strength there. You know, if their strength is they want to keep on walking, focus on that. Let them walk. You know, if their strength is trying to, what else? Help me out here, Ashley. If their strength is playing the bingo, let them play the bingo, you know. So I love that, you know, focusing on the strength. Because in our therapy world, in the physical therapy realm, if the patient had a stroke, we focus on the good side. We don't focus on the bad side. For example, they've got a very bad stroke and one of their side of their body is already flaccid. You know, there's no movement, no anything. We don't focus on that. Uh-huh. We focus on the other side, which is the stronger side, and we try to make that better and stronger and to compensate for them to be able to move on forward and be more functional. The same thing with dementia patients. You know, if we focus on the strength, we can make our patients better. Another thing that you mentioned that really stood out is live in their reality. And most mm-hmm. of the time, us caregivers, we always say, if the patient says 1969, we insist that it's 2018. And guess what? They'll just get confused. They'll just get mad. And they'll just mm-hmm. get irritated. So I love what you said about living in the patient's reality, you know, and trying to reaffirm them that that's their world and, you know, that we'll support them, you know, and just waiting in the bus. And last but not least, you know, I really love this. Just love them. I think that's the one that we've been missing in caregiving. We just have to love them. And that's the same word that the last guest talked about, Chad. And he just kept on saying the word love, which we really need right now. We need more love right now. There's so much hatred and stress out in this world that we forget what's really important, which is love. So thank you very much, Ashley. Any parting wisdom that we can get from you?
Well, not really. I think I said my piece. I thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you very much for joining us and for sharing all this wisdom and knowledge. And maybe we could get another interview in. That way we can, I know you've got more information that you want to share, and maybe we can do a next episode on it. Again, thank you very much, Ashley. Appreciate you.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And again, thank you very much, everyone, for listening to our podcast. We appreciate you and hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Misunderstanding Dementia Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Misunderstanding Dementia Course, and you can put in 50 to get a 50% discount on the course. Thank you.